Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi, my name is Brianna Contreras, and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, I spoke with John Calamara, Business Intelligence Analytics Manager of DataGen. DataGen works with data analysis for hospitals across the United States, focusing on Medicare bundle payments. John and I discussed the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS's, recent announcement of the changes they've made for participants in their value-based programs, specifically those in bundled care programs like BPCI Advanced, whose episodes were affected by COVID-19.
Hi, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for joining, tuning into the C-Suite today.
No problem. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, to get started, so for listeners unfamiliar with DataGen, can you tell us where you're located, what the company does, and what you do?
Okay. DataGen is located in the Capital District, Albany, New York. That's our main location. We deal with data analysis for hospitals across the U.S. DataGen specifically deals with Medicare bundle payments. We've done BPCI Classic, BPCIA, CJR, OCM. We deal with other analytics as well for hospitals, like financial or one-off analytics to deal for hospitals or providers, any type of healthcare facility.
Okay, great, thanks. So today we're talking about CMS's Bundled Payments for Care Improvement Advanced, or BPCI Advanced. Could you give our listeners a brief description of the program for those who may be unfamiliar with it?
Yep. So BPCI Advanced came out of the CMMI Center of Medicare Medicaid Innovation Center. It started with BPCI Classic. Well, it wasn't called BPCI Classic. It was just called BPCIA, which BPCI stands for Bundled Payment Care Initiative. It was for transforming care, basically to putting a provider responsible for a patient's care 90 days after they were discharged from the hospital. So kind of a total complete care of the patient, putting them responsible for when the patient leaves their facilities, that they're still kind of on the financially responsible for that patient. So BPCI Advanced is an extension of BPCI Classic. It tweaked the rules a little bit, and it made it easier for providers to join and the administrative burden as well, and to also deal with the program.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Now, it's a form of episodic payment, but what kind of episodes are they?
So they are either surgical or medical. In BPCI Advanced, they actually added outpatient episodes. So a patient comes in, the one that was popular in BPCI Classic, and there's actually a mandatory program, CJR, was joint replacements. A patient comes in, gets a knee replacement done, and the hospital and Medicare basically tracks that inpatient stay. And then when that patient leaves, it tracks all the payments that was paid to Medicare for 90 days after that stay. So if that patient gets readmitted, they know that because it's all going through Medicare. So it creates a target for the hospital or provider to hit. If they are above the target, then they have to actually pay back CMS money. If they're below the target, then CMS actually pays them.
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but just for a better understanding, there are shared savings and losses that downside risk is baked in, and I believe it is retrospective. So practices are still paid on a fee-for-service basis, but there is a reconciliation process at the end of the year based on financial benchmarks and quality metrics.
Correct. So everyone still gets paid fee-for-service bills. So the hospital still bills and they get their payment based on the DRG, the physician, anesthesiologist, all those doctors will get paid, nurse practitioners, you know, physical therapists, they all still get the bill. They'll still get paid by Medicare. The facility or entity that is responsible for that episode is the one responsible for the reconciliation payment.
Okay.
The episode initiator, the term they use for BPCIA.
Okay, cool. Now, about how many participants are there in this program?
There are, I believe over, I don't know at the top of my head, I think around 2,000
okay.
participants.
Okay, wow.
I think, I don't quote me on that, I have to.
Roughly,
yeah. I can easily look up the list. I can look at the list, there's a list posted. I just don't remember exactly, but there is quite a few participants.
Okay, sounds good, thank you, that's fine. Now, in your opinion, has BPCI Advanced been successful so far in achieving the twin goals of all value-based care, which is, you know, controlling costs while maintaining or improving quality? Why or why not?
So I think it is. The main purpose of this program is to, you know, reduce costs while maintaining quality. So it's a voluntary program. So hospitals or providers coming into this program have an initiative to change their care pathways to improve patient care and to reduce cost and to improve their quality. So in performance period one, the reconciliation came out, at least for all of our providers that we work with, everyone was in the black, was everyone made savings. So meaning that they were below target. So that means they saved Medicare money for this program. So that's a financial setup for the provider, as well as it's helping Medicare reduce costs and the excess healthcare spending that's just associated with healthcare. Okay. So I think overall the program is doing really well. They've just released, due to COVID, they just released last week. I don't know. Time doesn't go the same anymore. Right. Move the same.
COVID time is different from like reality.
Yes. They released a statement of how they're going to handle the program itself with COVID. So they were very responsive for providers, either giving them basically three options to just say for model year three, this entire year, to remove any upside or downside risk, just basically say putting yourself on pause for the whole year. Or they can carve out the patients that were diagnosed with COVID. So those episodes will be removed from the reconciliation. Or they can just go, you know, pretend it didn't happen and just have everything at risk for upside and downside risk.
Right.
So, yeah. But it was very responsive to the providers. It gives them the options, flexibility to choose how they want to stay in the program or not.
Okay. So that's more so the reason for those adjustments then.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Now kind of going back to COVID, why did it present a problem then for BPCI Advanced?
There's a lot of different issues with that. Number one, if you're in a, say, major joint replacements bundle, most of those volume is elective surgeries. And during COVID, you know, for most, end of March, April, May, most elective surgeries weren't allowed. So that volume decreases, you're only dealing with cases that are more extreme. The fracture episodes or more extreme cases. And that's true for any elective surgeries in general, for any bundle that has elective surgeries. And then for the medical bundles, again, people aren't coming in. You're dealing with the more acute patients, as well as the issue with supply. You know, hospital's focus or provider's focus is on COVID patients. You know, if you're in New York City, for instance, all the focus was on COVID because it was a hotspot of patients, you know, overcapacity, et cetera. So the strain on resources, as well as the lack of volume, is problematic for these programs. You're dealing with more complex patients, as well as when you deal with lower volume in these programs, you get a lot more variation. So if you only have a handful of cases, if you have one really bad case where it's things outside your control, it kind of negates all of the improvement you've had before.
Right. Okay. So. Now, kind of just get more deeper into some further adjustments made. So CMS also made COVID-19 adjustments to the comprehensive care for joint replacement model and to the oncology care model. Can you tell our listeners the main changes of those adjustments, and are they similar to the BPCI advancement adjustments?
For CJR, comprehensive joint replacement program, for that program they use a previous instated policy for natural disasters. So I believe that was taking place after a certain hurricane, where if you're in part of a natural disaster, the short of it is that you only have upside risk only for those episodes that overlap that time period. So they just extended that to a public health emergency, so that during this time for CJR, there is only upside risk only for those joint replacement patients. As well, they announced that CJR is extended by 3 months. Okay. So the CJR program was supposed to end at the end of this year, but now it ends March 31st, 2021. Okay. And we are assuming CJR was supposed to be extended 3 years. So the CJR extension won't start until our assumption is April 1st, 2021. For OCM is similar to BPCIA, where providers can choose to remove upside and downside risk or carve out the COVID patients. So it's similar to the BPCIA program. OCM also is extended by a year. So it was supposed to end at this year, end of 2020, but now it's going to end at end of 2021. It also gives them time to, OCM was supposed to be extended to a newer program called OCF, and I don't know what those acronyms stand for. Oncology care, I don't know what the F stands for. But it was supposed to, yeah, fun. That program was supposed to start in beginning of 2021, but they extended that, so now it's going to start in 2022. It gives them more time to figure out what to do with this time period. Right now CMS has given providers what they're going to do in the short term of how to deal with reconciliation. You know, providers can choose their options in the future. All these programs are based off of a target, which is based off of a baseline period. Mm-hmm. So once that baseline period overlaps this period of time, how will CMS adjust those targets? Because obviously this period of time is not a normal care period for patients, and how they're going to deal with that and adjust the targets that way. So that is something that we're waiting from CMS to address. But I don't believe that they're going to address that until maybe next year, when there's actually one of these programs actually have to overlap this time period for their targets.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And that's about everything I had for you, but is there anything you'd like to share about any of these options for bundled care participants or programs, or just anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
I mean, the programs, I think one of the things with these programs is, one of the things we've heard from some of our clients is, you know, these are very good programs. We're all for it. The one thing that we're waiting to see CMS address is this notion of race to the bottom with the targets. So the idea of the targets is you have a baseline period and you're moving, you know, that baseline period keeps moving forward and everyone's doing more and more improvements. So at some point, there's going to be a time where everyone's keeps trimming their costs, more efficient care. There has to be a bottom line of where the most efficient care is. With these targets, CMS, you know, sets the baseline, sets the target, you know, that's what their expected price would be. And then they take a certain percentage off of that. So at some point, which, you know, providers have been thinking about this since BPCI Classic. We haven't hit there yet, but especially with mandatory programs of how they handle that race to the bottom aspect of what is that lowest price and is that target going to, like, when do you bake in a target where that's not going to change and that's like the target that hospitals or providers have to hit. They have also, for the progression of these programs, talking about targets, they're becoming more sophisticated with it. The best so far that I've seen is the BPCI Advance. They're using a sophisticated regression, using patient characteristics, the hospital characteristics, and giving a target for the based on all those factors and just a target. And it risk adjusts everything, basically. The issue being with BPCIA, the problem is that that target is based on their baseline case mix and gets updated in their performance period and during reconciliation. So if the hospital's case mix changed significantly, they don't know what their proper target is until they get reconciled. So if CMS could provide a more up-to-date target in quote-unquote real time, that would benefit providers, because we saw, at least for performance period one, for certain episode categories, like certain providers, their case mix changed a lot. They had a lot more acute care patients or more severe patients. And so initially, looking at the data, it was that that hospital would, you know, be losing a lot of money for those patients for that episode. But when actually reconciliation time came and they readjusted that target, they saw a savings, so, which is good. But then at the same time, you can also look at the negative and saying, you know, if they had less acute patients during the performance period, then they would, you know, overestimate their savings. But that's just the issue with the targets and how they're at least a small issue for BPCIA. But the methodology is, I believe, is sound for that, for the target, creating the target. So we have a website, datagen.info, and on that website, under the second tab, there's BPCI Advance, Learn More, and there's three tools on that on the website, and it's for anyone to go into to kind of see, get a sense of, you know, what the in their area, what the average cost of an episode is, what the national cost of the episode, what the national episode cost is, as well as, you know, how many providers in that area are actually participating in the program. Okay. And there's also another dashboard where it shows what is the, you know, between model year one and two to model year three, what was the change in episodes? So, you know, between model year three right now, the most, the highest episode being participated in is sepsis.
Okay.
And which was a 10% increase from model year one and two, whereas now actually in model year three, the lowest performing, one of the lower episodes is actually major joints. A lot of providers went out of major joint replacements in model year three from model year two. Yeah, and then the last tool just gives a look at just model year three currently, or model year three versus model year two of just the in the area, the change in the participation between the two model years.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Well, thanks for informing our listeners today and myself, John.
No problem.
I appreciate you taking the time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.